from MacGyver, 1985 to 1992. If this works, it'll keep us from getting caught. If it doesn't, it'll keep us from getting old. This is Gothic. Season 5 of the Gothic Podcast may contain material not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Good evening, Sojourners, and welcome back to the Gothic Podcast here in Lazarus Bay. The nights are cool and foggy, and the days are warm and filled with tourist activity. And our mavens, well, they solve mysteries, as do our players, or at least they try to solve what's going to happen next.
You know, you try to solve a mystery.
All right, Sojourners, we're going to get right into it this evening, unless anybody has any announcements or anything.
Hey, nothing terrible happened to me this week. I know that the last two recordings, I've been, like, actively developing a fever. Or, you know, been to the emergency room 2 days earlier. I'm okay this week. Nothing bad happened.
Woo! You're tempting fate a little bit right now.
Whatever.
Let's open tonight's episode of Murder Mavens of Lazarus Bay with a dream. A dream that Olivia Parsons has.
Harp sounds.
Olivia, you're in your living room of your fishing boat. It's all just sort of one big room, right?
The cabin.
Yeah, the main cabin. You have a small black and white TV there kind of hanging in the corner of the room. Now, whether this TV is there in your waking life or not doesn't matter to your dream. But this TV is there. It crackles on to life. And there's just static across it for a moment. And then you see your buddy, the fish. The fish is standing there on the screen in the static.
Is this the fish with the cow guts?
Yeah, it's the fish with the cow guts.
The fish didn't have the cow guts itself. It was just on the deck. Of the boat.
Oh, got it. The cow guts were in the pie.
The cow guts were in the pie. The fish was unrelated to the pie.
Fish was observing.
Yeah. For some reason, I had headcanoned the fish has like, human teeth. So that's what I'm picturing.
The fish absolutely has human teeth and grins real big at you through the screen, the static going behind it, almost like it's superimposed over the static, but it's in perfect 4K quality, while the static is very black and white and old-timey, you know, from your youth.
Mm-hmm.
The fish is walking on its back fin, and two little blades that go out of the back fin. It's walking backwards across your TV screen. Then it turns and it walks backwards across the other side, and then it says in backwards fish speech that you understand perfectly well, "It is coming! He's a-coming! Oh, yeah!" And then in the static behind the sound, his sound was really quite solid and fine, but you hear in the static of the TV, you hear the sound of distant screaming.
"Well, that was a restful night," sarcastically. Oh no, my pencil broke. Ah.
As the screaming fades, as you begin to wake up thinking that was a restful night, you hear the sound of speakers playing distantly all along the watchtower.
Some Hendrix, yeah.
And then you realize that that must be the neighbor three boats over who likes to
play his record player real loud in the mornings, well before anybody should. What's that neighbor's name?
George.
George?
George.
Oh, George.
It could be George, I guess. There's no reason why it can't be George.
Spelled George, but it's pronounced George.
It's actually Jorge, and someone really, really, really badly mispronounced his name one time. And now everyone calls him George, and he's just given up at this point.
He's Swedish. Hello, my name is Jorg.
Don't think he was Swedish, but okay.
You know, most people don't play their music until late at night, but he's an outlier and should not have been counted. So I wake up and someone else is playing music.
That is indeed what it sounded like. And then, weirdly, you know this is what happens, but the scene cuts to the Murder Mavens of Lazarus Bay theme song and intro credits.
I'm sure I have my part in the intro credits where I, like, putter around or, like, ride on the bicycle or something.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to know what is in the intro credits that shows you, Olivia. What is it you are doing in the intro credits?
Oh, it's probably... Okay, so let's do, like... you know how these kinds of shows always love to be, like... here's her at home, here's her doing something active, here's her doing a hobby. So, like, I think it shows me pulling up a lobster trap, and then it shows me riding my bicycle down the street, and then it shows me with my birding binoculars up, like, kind of looking three quarters off screen, and then pulling them, like, taking them down as if to say, my God, what is that? You know?
Nice. I like it. What about you, Rose? What does the opening credit show you doing?
Rose just kind of like walks up with a drink and hands it to one to each of the other characters, both Olivia and Winnie. But then you see this flashback because you see this like soot like across her face and her hair looks a little singed. You see this flashback to her distillery and she has a little flare up. And you see her, like, grabbing towels and patting, like, out a fire on her clothes and all that.
nice,
but just
nice.
Still with a smile, handing over that drink.
Nice. And what about Winnie?
So we'd see Winifred in the barn of chaos. and she's, like, tipping over one domino, and that knocks into a bunch of other dominoes that hit a small ball. That rolls into the end of a hammer that then falls over and falls onto a like a you know an accordion pump and it shoots mm-hmm. a rubber ball way up in the air and it hits like this you know comically painted circus target thing that then frees up this really big swinging pendulum hammer that knocks. A big rubber ball out of a window and it smacks into the chicken coop outside.
Nice.
And a bunch of eggs just like fall out as all the chickens simultaneously are scared and lay eggs.
And you're like there with the frying pan like underneath.
Yeah, Rose is like run over. Sorry, Winifred. Yeah, Winifred yeah, is yeah. Run over to be like ding 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 ding.
Catch all the eggs in the already hot skillet.
When the credits are done and we come back to our mavens, have gathered together somewhere. It's not. You know, obviously the usual place of Fizzy's. That is now got police tape all over it. So where do we meet? It's morning now. The bar's not open.
How about some tea?
You did, however, get a ride back home last night from Nicky Fears in his limo. Well, actually, not Nicky. Nicky didn't come himself, but he sent his driver in a limo to pick you up. And then a tow truck came shortly thereafter to bring Rose's Monte Carlo back to her place. But now you all are back in town.
Well, I don't know about you girls, but I need some caffeine.
Yes, a coffee would be great. Or tea. Tea would be really good.
Tea also has caffeine. So yeah, let's go to the cafe.
What is the name of the Lazarus Bay Cafe?
Lazarus Bay Cafe is pretty good.
Or just Cafe on the Bay.
Bay Cafe.
Lazarus Bay Cafe. I like the rhyme, so yeah. All right, so the Lazarus Bay Cafe is on the water. It's got actually some seating out on a deck that the pylons of the deck actually go into the bay itself. There's a kind of a, not an awning, but a retractable canvas cover that can be brought out or back. Currently it's back so that the blue sky and the seagulls screeching and the fishing boats going in and out and the tourist boats going in and out of the bay can easily be seen is a very nice little cafe. Strangely, they do excellent beignets at the Lazarus Bay Cafe and a darn good coffee.
Coffee and beignets, please, Max.
Make that two coffees and lots of beignets.
Black tea and beignets.
And your barista today is Max Then. His name is Max Then.
Love it.
Is there a special spelling on Then?
Nope. It's T-H-E-N.
I love it.
You're in the midst of a mystery, so anybody could have killed Fizzy Baloo. Even Max Then.
His last name was Baloo.
Here you are, coffee and beignets on the deck, occasionally poking a fork toward the seagulls that want to steal things off of your plates.
Right then, who do we think could have possibly killed Fizzy?
Well, there is that rival bookshop in town.
Oh, Galen, he's got those seedy eyes. You know he's got something up his sleeve, but I don't know if he's got it in him to kick out old Fizzy.
He's a grudge holder for sure, but I have no idea what he could have been holding a grudge about.
We have a cutaway to a shot of Galen Rogers, bookseller, as he is unlocking the doors of the Galen Rogers Literary Shoppe with an E on the end.
I was afraid it was going to be the uncomfortable chihuahua or something.
The uncomfortable chihuahua.
Aren't all chihuahuas uncomfortable?
Have you seen them?
By definition.
Galen Rogers Literary Shop is only a block away from the Cozy Kitten. As he's unlocking the door, we see a local come up to him and go, "Oh, hey there, Galen. Oh, I'm looking for something, I don't know, maybe a good mystery. I'm looking for a good mystery, I think. And, you know, Fizzy's closed, so I'm coming up to you." And Galen goes, "Yes, well, we have mysteries. Perhaps I can turn you on to something a bit more highbrow than what you could have gotten at Fizzy's." And then we're back to the cafe.
Well, I don't think we can forget Cindy Louise, that Restoration Society lady.
Oh, yes. Remember when Fizzy was trying to raise the funds for that renovation? A year or two ago.
I do, and nobody but Cindy has a more vested interest in getting rid of the Cozy Kitten.
Remind me again why she had an issue with the building code on.
And we have a cutaway scene to Cindy Louise, Downtown Restoration Society. She is meeting with the mayor. Mayor Blunderblots.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna suggest something ridiculous if you don't say something soon, but I don't know if I could have done that ridiculous.
Mayor McMayor face.
I was gonna say like schmorp or something. Blunderbloss? Blunderbloss or Blunderblocks? Blunderblots.
Yes.
Mayor Blunder
Blots. Two T's.
Blots. Is it like a hyphenated, like blunder hyphen blots?
It is now.
Now I need to correct my...
Me too.
His maternal last name was Blunder. His paternal was Blots.
Blunder Blots.
And she is saying to the mayor, "Why, I think now that old fart, excuse my language, Maybe now that he's passed away, bless his soul, that maybe somebody put a dress shop in there. I think that would go just nice. And we cut back.
Yes, well, she said it was about the fabric of historic downtown, but, I think she really had another agenda. Maybe not murder it. I don't know. I mean, people are capable of surprising things.
Especially when downtown aesthetics are on the line, I guess.
Speaking of downtown, and especially downwards, that fellow who was always hanging around wanting to have a look in Fizzy's basement.
The one in the pith helmet?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Wellcoat, right?
Oh, yes. I remembered his first name, but not his last. It was Phineas. Phineas Wellcoat.
Oh, that treasure hunter. I don't know. Think there's something that he could find in Fizzy's plate?
I don't know if there was something he could find, but if he thought there was, and Fizzy refused to get out of the way, well...
We have a cutaway scene to Phineas Wellcoat, treasure hunter. Tall, thin man, always wearing a pith helmet and a safari coat. And, as usual, he is carrying a metal detector. It's well known that he was featured on A&E's Treasure Hunters, because he likes to mention it all the time.
Like a 5-second clip.
As we see him on Treasure Hunters going, saying to the camera,
"Yeah, you know what? I'm thinking that in my own hometown, there's something big, something real big, and it's just going to be a matter of time until I get it. I find it, and I'll be back. I'll be back, and I'll be showing you all, that's right, and all those who said that I was crazy."
Anyway, he's a little, you know...
office rocker.
I was going to say something more polite, like, he needs help, but yes.
Well, and we can't forget, sorry, Rose, your beau, Nicky Fears.
Oh, yeah. Nicky's got his hands in all kinds of pies.
He was very quick to suggest that he clearly did not do it, which methinks he doth protest too much.
But he's so dreamy.
Well, that's not an alibi.
Nightmarish, maybe.
We have a jump cut to Nicky Fears. Nicky Fears, good-looking, a gentleman in his perhaps late 60s, white hair, carefully trimmed mustache.
They call it a silver fox.
He doesn't say anything in this cutaway. It's just him with one finger stroking his mustache to either direction.
I thought you were going to say with one finger in his mouth, so he sounds like that.
No. And then he winks at the camera, and we come back.
Oh no, he's genre savvy.
We come back to the cafe.
Okay, but if we're going to go to that extreme, could it be some corrupt police work? Could Sheriff him, I mean Lilo, be a part of, you know, what's going on with Fizzy? In that case, what about that Casey Dandabottom guy? He's always hanging around the cozy kid, always nuzzling up.
Well, as for Lilo, I appreciate the theory, but I just don't think he has enough on the ball to go murdering anyone. He was probably patrolling the beach at the time.
He does like to patrol the beach long and extensively.
Going off those tanned
sometimes
muscles.
From a sun chair.
And we have a cutaway to Sheriff Lilo as he approaches the table that the Mavens are seated at, drinking their coffee. And
not so much
their
a
beignets.
Cutaway as him entering the scene.
It's like the camera starts to cut away, but then it's like, oh, wait, there.
He's right there. And he says,
record scratch.
Well, ladies, I don't know what my accent is. Hold on.
It's okay. You've been trying different accents for the past year, and they all sound better than the last. Keep going. I'm sure you'll find the perfect one.
Oh, ladies, now, you know, I think that, the beach is a place where a lot of people think that crime doesn't happen up here in the Northeast, but it does.
Mm.
And so you gotta have your eye open, and you gotta have the other eye open, too. And you just gotta keep an eye on the beach, because you never know what'll wash up.
Yeah, and those sunglasses have to be to protect your eyes from the glare on the waves and the sand.
Your good eye protection is important, ladies. And now, I just wanted to come by and remind you that it is not your job to detect who it was that might have had anything to do with the death of poor unfortunate Fizzy Baloo.
Now, listen,
or if anything even was malcontented.
You listen here. I have changed your diaper too many times for you to tell me what I can and cannot do. Now scoot.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, is it the police's job to... let me rephrase this sentence.
Beep.
Take two.
There's somebody with a clapper over at the edge of the at the it's edge the- of the deck that does a clap. Take two.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, we may not be the ones supposed to investigate, but we are the ones in harm's way. Did you hear about the car crash we were in last night?
Oh, well, I heard it from, old Tony, with the truck.
Yes, old Tony, yes, the guy with the truck.
Tow truck guy. I heard it from old Tony.
Tow truck Tony.
Right. Well, haven't you investigated yet? We almost died.
Well, all I saw there was that you had a flat tire, and,
We were shot at.
Oh, now. I don't think that that's probably likely now, is it?
There was a gunshot, and our tire exploded. I don't know how much clearer it can be. And have the police come and investigated this?
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but you should definitely look at the sniper's nest we clearly saw on the hill.
Oh, now, you know, I don't know about none of that. I think a poppin' tire sounds a lot like a gunshot. So, you know.
Sheriff, I've heard tires blow many times, and I know what that sounds like. This was not that.
Oh, well. Perhaps then you might want to give me a presence to convince Sheriff Lila he should indeed check this out. This is a day move. So before you roll, tell me what you are worried about here. What are you afraid will happen or how things will go?
I guess probably worst case scenario is... either the person who did the shooting or someone affiliated with that text message that we got is, like, overhearing us as we're having this conversation in a cafe.
Hmm. Wow, that's pretty big. I was thinking it would just be that he wouldn't go investigate it.
I'm like, he won't care. I don't think he's going to do anything anyway, so.
Well, if you convince him.
I just want to undermine his authority. Okay, so it's day move.
With presence.
Yeah, with presence.
Are we still shaken?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what does that do again? I don't remember what conditions.
Shaken will give you a disadvantage.
Oh, dang on the it. Roll.
And I believe you are, because right now you are talking about that very experience. And so, although you kind of, your minds have gotten off of it, they're talking about potential suspects. But now that you've reminded yourselves and Sheriff Lilo, I think that you're all still a little shook up.
Yeah, we were being kind of facetious earlier, and now it's, like, serious again.
I give Olivia the help action.
If only there was such a thing.
Yeah, when you're using an item from your cozy little place, does it have to be related, like...
You have to incorporate it somehow into...
Yeah, so it's not like this. I'm going to sacrifice my big fisherman's net. In this moment.
Well, you're not sacrificing it. Once you use a thing that's in your cozy little place to give yourself advantage,
right?
You mark it. It's still there narratively. You just can't use it as a advantage anymore.
But it's not like I can be like, I'll give up the net in order to get advantage this time because I have to be actively using it in the scene. And it wouldn't make sense to be like...
You could theoretically have your two fishing... weights and be
weights.
Using them like those balls the stress balls you just roll around in your hands.
I'm using them as a fidget spinner.
Yeah.
Only it's very intimidating.
It's like a bolus. I'm just like flipping it around.
You investigate that or else you'll get the fish weights.
That'll balance out. So you won't have advantage or disadvantage on this.
All right. Submit. And it's presence. Here we go. Okay, great. I rolled a 4.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
Well, I will describe what happens.
Oh, no.
And then
I should have said, oh, well, he doesn't care.
And then you will have the option of putting on a crown to raise it to the next level of success up.
Mm-hmm.
So you are talking with Sheriff Lilo, and he's doing the old, you know, muttering, oh heavens, oh no, oh goodness. And you're doing the, look, all you have to do is check to see, obviously, the tire was shot, and then, you know, we saw this guy. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is check this out. It's so simple. I know it's a long way from the beach, but still.
It's a hilltop. It's lovely up there. You can see the turns floating on the wind.
Oh, Olivia. Oh, all right, fine. Ladies, I'll go check it out or have one of the deputies do it, but I don't expect nothing to come of it. You just do your day, act like normal, all this, and don't get involved in this. And as he turns to go, Olivia, you see that your phone, the light that indicates that the camera is active and on, you see that is on.
Yeah, no, I'm going to put on a crown. I don't want that to happen.
Well, you haven't put on a crown yet anyway.
I haven't put on any crowns anyway. I'm trying to decide which one to do. I'm going to do the fondest memory of my late partner, whose name was Pip Parsons, because I'm trying to think about who could possibly hold a grudge against Fizzy. And one of the things about Pip is that Pip was living socially as a woman, but was not born a woman, and transitioned late in her life after we had had our two kids. And Fizzy's drag shows actually was one of the first places where Pip turned to me and asked afterwards if we could go on a quiet walk together, and came out to me. So that is something that I treasure.
That crown, as you put it on and change things, that takes us up to a 7 to 9.
Yeah, that's a mixed, right?
It is mixed. Again, you have a choice here, because I'm going to tell you how this plays out, mm-hmm. and you can choose not to try to convince Sheriff Lilo to investigate this. The 7 to 9 result on a day move is that it goes like you want it to, but... Mm-hmm. The actions leave you vulnerable. And in this case, that vulnerability I'm going to shift over to Sheriff Lilo.
Oh.
As he goes and investigates the hill and perhaps has some troubles because of it. But the investigation into the shot tire mystery will begin.
So I can convince him to do it, but I suspect he'll be like in danger because of that, basically.
Yeah, it's in your mind that even as you're starting to try to convince him that, oh, if you send Sheriff Lilo up to a forlorn, you know, somewhat isolated place to look for clues and say the sniper was keeping an eye on that, well, Lilo could be, or whoever he sends, a deputy, could get into real trouble up there.
Just go right out there and track down that sniper.
It'd be great.
Winifred doesn't like her sheriff cousin twice removed.
Could I try to convince him to like take backup with him, or like instead of going alone, like
you can by putting on one more crown to
great.
Raise the level one more success.
Can you stack them?
I don't know.
Double crown.
Oh, yeah. Stack.
We don't know how to play this game.
We don't know how to play this game.
Oh, my God.
What if, we are.
What if it was like 10 candles where we had actual crowns that we had to put on? And like if your crown stack fell over, then you had to start over or something?
then you die.
Then it's, you
10
die.
It's 10 candles. It's 10 crowns.
You're dying.
10 crowns.
It would catch fire.
10 blazing crowns.
10 blazing crowns.
What'll it be?
You know, okay, so... The reason I started this conversation was for the undermining the authority of a local official, not to mm-hmm. actually get him to do the thing.
Okay.
So I will back down. I just want to let him know that like we're in some hot water here that he is not doing anything about.
Do you want to be saying it loud enough that the people at the other tables will hear and maybe think a little bit less of the sheriff?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, and so now you don't believe us that we were shot at and that members of your community are being put in danger because the sheriff refuses to investigate.
Even your own blood and kin, like gesturing over to Winnie.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Who changed your diaper so many times.
A lot.
All right, ladies, I'm out of here. I've got real police work to do, so you just go back to your your coffee and your bignets, and I'll be at the station.
Lilo, they're beignets.
Bignets.
And he stalks off.
Oh my god.
It's been a pretty long time here at the cafe. The viewing audience at home might be getting a little bored with that. Where do we cut to next?
I think we need to go find some more clues at the Cozy Kitten.
I'd be interested in talking to some of the people we thought of just now.
Should we split up?
Hearing what their story is.
If Rose comes up with one other thing, we can have a split screen as you, as the three of you head off to different, in different directions.
Like, okay. Well, I think I just want to get a view of the bay. I think I might go ask Fern for some advice.
And then we do. We have that Charlie's Angels three screen cut at slices into each of you into your own tall rectangular view as you head off at old Maven speeds to your various investigations. Your car, Rose, is in the shop right now. What are you using for transportation?
Well, in the garage. Sorry, I lost where I was at.
Lazarus Bay, dear.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Back at the chateau, I actually have a small garage. And by small, I mean, you know, I could fit like 5-6 cars easily.
Oh, my God. Five cars.
The Monte Carlo was just my day use. So I walk in, I look at the cars that are left, and I go back to the far corner, and I see Dad's old motorcycle from the war, and I look down at Moonshine, and I'm like, ready to feel the wind in your hair? And, you know, she gives her little meow. And I've got this cute little helmet that fits on Moonshine.
Oh, my God.
You see her start to strap that in, and Moonshine just runs over to this motorcycle, like this old, like, World War II style motorcycle with a sidecar. And she hops in the sidecar and, like, settles in. And I pull on one of those it's, like, one of those old school, it looks like it's from, like, World War II kind of, like, helmet.
Like, with, like, strapping the round on. Goggles.
Yep. And it's got the goggles, and I pull the goggles down.
Yeah.
Light hair sticking out the sides of the helmet.
Oh, my gosh.
You just see this. And she pulls out. And, yeah, so as we're leaving the cafe, she hops back into the same motorcycle, and you see her driving off down the, like, windy road up to the White House, to the lighthouse.
Up to the White House.
To the White House, yes.
That'd be a plot twist.
Excellent. And what's your transportation at the moment, Olivia?
Oh, I just have my old bicycle. It's one of those old, I don't even know the brand, it's one of those old-looking ones. It's like it's like a high-o silver-looking bicycle. It was probably like a Schwinn or something, but it's an old kind of nondescript. It's been repainted a couple of times, but the paints, it wasn't like proper paint. It's like flaked off, you know, so there's these like kind of mottled patches of flaked off paint. And hanging from one of the handlebars is my pair of fishing weights that looks like it's hanging like fuzzy dice. So I loop those over the handle before I ride off.
What about Winifred?
Winnie would get into her truck. It's a red Chevy Deluxe with the steps on the to get up into the bed.
It's a Maven, my lord, and a step side four. Chevy.
It was looking real good for a second there.
Let's go with Winifred first. You are wanting to head over to the Cozy Kitten and break in?
Yeah. I think Winifred would like drive around the back. So it's not super obvious, A, that she's there, and B, that she's breaking in, and try and, like, find an open window or jimmy the back door, something like that.
And we are seeing all of this still. Occasionally, it'll be all three of you at the same time doing stuff on the screen in those three split screens, and then sometimes we'll get a zoom in of the individual Maven doing her thing. So as Winifred approaches the back door to jimmy it, taking a crowbar out of the back of the truck, we also see Olivia.
I think I will start by talking to the rival bookshopkeeper, Galen Rogers.
All right. And we see Olivia looking at the front of Galen Rogers' literary shop with the E on the end. And that is in really nice engraving on the front windows, behind which are very elegantly displayed books with really unreasonable prices on them.
They're probably all hardcover. They've got like that whatever they do in sort of gilded letters these days.
The whole building is very old world. London booksellers kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the door, a bell rings as you go in under it. And then, as we also see, Rose headed up toward the lighthouse, dust flying behind the motorcycle on the road, the gravel road that leads up to the headlands where the tall white lighthouse stands. Do you shout anything into the wind, Rose?
You know, as the dust is starting to, like, cake on the skin around the goggles, so that, you know, as soon as she takes off
yeah.
the goggles, you see the road.
Like the raccoon like, mark.
Dirt and everything. Yeah. as she, like, starts to slow down and come near the lighthouse, you know, pop it up, you know. And the cat's just all like, and you see that start to heave like a cat does. It's like, oh,
a dust cloud comes out of her mouth.
Cut away from the cat heaving. All right, and then we can go up to the top of the lighthouse where you see a moment where it seems like Rose and Fern have had many discussions in the past. And Fern kind of goes towards like the bay and like out towards the water and everything, but Rose turns and goes to the other side of the lighthouse and looks back towards the city and like hunkers down on one of the railing bars and like just kind of looks into the city. And Fern gets like this look, like double takes over his shoulder and starts to walk back towards Rose.
And we'll zoom in on this scene. And Fern, a gentleman in his also in his 70s with still blazing red hair, however, kind of sticking out all over his head, he goes in that voice that is very familiar to all of Lazarus Bay, because the building next to the lighthouse, the lighthouse keeper's house, also has a huge radio tower next to it. For Fern Happens is the voice of Lazarus Bay at midnight each night. The voice of Lazarus Bay coming to you from high atop Lighthouse Hill.
Do 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 do.
And he says to you, Rose, "What's so interesting out there in the city?" It's almost his midnight voice.
"Well, Fern," and like looks over, pats his arm. "There's a killer out there. Gotta find him."
"A killer? Wait, let me get a deeper voice. A killer, you say?"
"Yeah, old Fizzy. Think somebody, you know, done him in."
"Do you want me to announce this on the radio? I can fire it up."
"I think there's still more we need to find out. But do you have any experience with some of the people around town?"
"You know I keep to myself up here, Rose. I'm just the voice. Nobody needs to see this old man with the red hair spiking out like some clown."
"You downplay yourself too much. I mean, from up here, you probably see all kinds of and you obviously know what's going on in the town. Your broadcasts are pretty well known."
"Yeah, people give me calls. They talk to me here and there."
"So, anything on the wire?"
"Are you meddling?"
"I am."
"Well, let's meddle away then. Meddle with, I almost want to say composure as you are trying to get some information out of him through your, the way that you're holding yourself, the way that you are carrying yourself and handling the issues."
You know, as I ask him these questions, I pass back and forth that flask of, you know, that special blend that I have.
"Oh, Rose, you know the way to my heart."
"So I will mark that, which should even out the shaken. Well, am I still shaken at this point?"
"You know, I kind of want to use the rules here. To get rid of a condition, you need to have a cozy moment. You are having a cozy kind of thing, passing the drink around, but it needs to be with a maven for you to be able to clear the condition off. And I think maybe even the drive up here, you kept thinking the entire way, tire of the motorcycle might get shot out. And so I think you are still shaken by last night's activities.
Okay. So with disadvantage, that's a 9-mile success.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Fern looks at you for a long time and says, "You're no stranger to death."
That's not ominous at all.
Right, Rose?
I've seen a lot of that.
I mean, if you wanted to share a memory of a late family member.
I mean, especially with my dad after the war, I think seeing anybody go through the kind of pain that comes with a long death, it can hurt everybody in the family. I think that being able to share that with someone I haven't been able to for a long time help. I mean, it does fade after time, but the hurt's still there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. What was your late daddy like?
Strong man. Taught me everything I knew. Spent time in the war. Tough as nails. Always wanted to be able to do something for everybody else around him. Provide food, drink, give him a nice place to shelter. It's always what he went for. I think I try to emulate that as much as I can.
Yeah, and I think you do a real good job of it, Rose. I know that you and your friends, you know, Olivia and Winifred, you all have done some good for this town, no matter what the sheriff might say. And I think the sheriff's office is going to be pushing this as an accident. Old man got tripped up on his cats, fell down the stairs. In fact, I know that's what the sheriff's office is going to do. I know that there's people who are pushing for that. You know, we're coming into tourist season. And I also know that you and your friends are probably much stronger than people take you for. And I think if anybody can do it, it's going to be you. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't know what it means, but it might be of some use to you. You know, Fizzy Baloo, that building of his, it's been around for a real long time. And I happen to know there's a secret passage in the basement there.
Rose looks up at Fern, like, puts a hand to his face, just like, real gentle, like a slight caress. Thank you so much. A little kiss on the other cheek. Then you see her start to head down the stairs, down the tower of the lighthouse. In the meanwhile, she's just texting like crazy to both Winnie and Olivia.
And, all right, and so we will cut over to Winifred at that point. As you are about to put crowbar to door and you get a text message.
Right, I'd better get in here. What I would like to do is employ, for getting in here, my Angus MacGyver move.
Mm.
When I improvise in a situation using whatever is at hand, ask the other players and the keeper to name 3 objects I find in the environment. So long as I can give a plausible explanation for how these 3 objects together are helpful in the current situation, I get an automatic 12+ on a single associated die roll.
Oh, that's cool.
Used once per mystery.
Ooh, per mystery.
Wow. Yeah. That's a rad move.
You get ready to put the crowbar against the door, and you realize this sucker is like not just double, but like quadruple reinforced. And you're looking around, and you're like, holy crap, you never noticed. I don't know that Winifred would say holy crap in her mind, but but the windows look thick, like they're bulletproof. Yeah, it's going to be a lot harder to get in than you had originally thought. So yes, let's give Winifred 3 items in the environment.
So it's 3 items and you have to figure out how they're useful to get in?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a MacGyver up something with them.
You're in like a back, like a street behind the shop?
Yeah, probably an alley or a little like rear parking lot / you know, loading, unloading area with my truck. But does have a toolbox.
Well, there you go. I was going to say you could probably find a good sized nail back there.
Yeah.
You find thermite plasma.
you lift up the fake rock and you find the Heida key.
I've always wanted to use thermite plasma.
Anyway, I digress. A nail?
Yeah, like a long nail.
That's pretty exciting.
Ooh, a nail.
I'm going to say that in the trash bin in Fizzy's trash bin that's out here by the back steps that go up to the door is a broken wind chime.
Did I find one nail, or did I find, like, several nails? Like an old board or something with several nails?
How about a wooden pallet?
Okay, yeah, with a bunch of nails in.
Yeah.
I was hoping for 9-inch nails, but anyway.
9 1-inch nails.
Now, is it 9 1-inch nails or a singular nail that's 9 inches long? Is my question.
It's 9. Somebody lost a finger.
Oh, I hope you have some flame swords, because I'm going to say rubber cement.
Did you say flame swords?
Source.
Okay.
Flame source.
Okay. I was like, yeah, if she had a flame sword, that would be really helpful.
Rubber cement, a pallet with nails, and a broken wind chime. And you have to use those in it, but you can use other stuff too.
Okay, good. Well, so what I want to do is Rose is going to drive the nails into the door frame, like at an angle, so that they kind of get, you know, right next to the door itself, like all along the door. And then she's going to use the wire from the wind chimes to wrap around the nail heads that are sticking out in a line down the door so that they're all kind of connected to each other. And then she's going to rubber cement them and, like, you know, probably spend like half an hour blowing on the rubber cement, like...
Running out of breath. And then having to take a moment to breathe again.
Does this count as acting like a woman half your age? You have the lung capacity to...
hopefully. And then she's going to get some get the tow chain from the truck and hook it up to the back of the truck and loop the tow chain through the wire connecting all the nails together.
Mm.
And then she's going to drive away.
Nice.
causing the nails to lever the door open as they're all along the door frame, pushing up against the door already.
With a little bit of revving of the old Chevy and a bit of resistance from the nails and the door, it goes poof, and the whole door just swings open in your rearview mirror as you see that the thing is at least 3 inches thick, like almost like a vault door. So it's a 12 plus on a day move.
And the keeper will tell you some extra benefit or advantage you receive?
I think what it is that when the door pops open, the way that it did it was unnatural. When you go back, Winifred, to examine it, the opening of the door dislodged a rug that's there at the back door, by the back door, which is just a little hallway. You see that underneath it is a trap door that goes down into a section of the basement not normally accessible from the regular basement entrance.
Well, there you go.
The door, like, blowing in, like...
Yeah, it sucks the rug kind of off of the floor.
That happens with my rug. I need to get one of those things that goes under a rug to stop it from sliding around. Anyway.
And Winnie will get the, like, Eureka light bulb above her head and start and text the group chat. I found a trap door just inside the back door. I've totally lost the voice.
that's Winnie's excited voice.
Yeah.
Olivia, as you go into Galen Rogers Literary Shop with an E, your text message threads start blowing up.
Yeah.
Galen himself scowls at you over his pince-nez glasses and says, "Oh, it's one of you. I suppose now you've come to get books from the only bookseller left in town."
"Why, yes, and a good afternoon to you too, Galen. It's always so lovely to speak to you. Anyway, I wanted to simply reintroduce myself. I know you know my name, so this is a little bit less of an introduction, but I'm unfamiliar with your shop, and I wanted to come and say hello, take a look around, see what kind of inventory you had, and, ask if you'd know anything about what happened. I mean, you were in the same business as Fizzy, and the sheriff won't tell us anything about our lost friend." Try to look really pathetic.
Give me a presence. This is a day move.
This isn't meddling.
No. Okay. You're just interviewing him at the moment. And so you can do a meddling here later if you so desire.
Okay, and I still have Shaken. Didn't realize I'd be rolling so much presence. It's another 4.
Well, what were you afraid would happen?
He won't talk to me.
Oh, he won't talk to you? Okay.
Well, I figured that was the easiest one here.
This is what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
As you're talking more and more, he's scowling deeper and deeper, and he finally just says, "Good madam, I have no interest in that man, or in anything that he had ever done, or his shop, or anything about any of this. Please remove yourself from my premises. I don't want anything to do with you either." Are you happy with that? Or would you like to raise it up to the next level?
I would like to raise it up to the next level. I'm trying to decide which crown to put on. I'm going to go for a flashback showing how I was an imperfect mother thinking about books and bookshops. I'm going to think about my eldest, who I definitely have a name for. Let's say Ethan. Who was very into books and didn't appreciate having to. Actually, this was before we lived on the boat. That happened when we downsized after the kids moved out. But you know, Pip was a fisherman, and that didn't bring in things that allowed us to get the nicest of books. We would walk past Galen's shoppy, and Ethan, his little hand in mine, would just, you know, do that thing where he stopped on the sidewalk and he would tug at my hand to make me stop moving and point at whatever the latest cover was in the shop. And one time, Galen got in one of those book stands where it rotated very slowly to show off some of the features of the printed cover. And he always wanted to go in there and buy one of the really nice books. And, you know, I just felt like that was not something that we should be spending money on. So I never bought him one. It was always secondhand books from when the library had their end of year sale.
Here's how it's going to leave you vulnerable.
Okay.
He's going to talk to you, whatever he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, in fact, that very book still for sale, and the memories and the nostalgia of it. You are going to be compelled to now spend the money on that book.
I'm getting very strong hints from this salesman that if I were to cross his palm with some cash, maybe he would be a little more amenable.
He just taps the sign, "Bathrooms are for customers only." Yeah.
Yes, well, you know, Galen, my son always wanted to stop in here and buy one of the really nice books, and he's moved away, but he has a birthday coming up, and I wondered if you had a really nicely bound collection of Walt Whitman. It's one of his favorites, and I thought that would be really meaningful for him.
Well, of course I do. And he moves his arm to point at a wall where there's like this really nicely bound set, and it's
the Walt
oh
wall.
So pricey.
Oh.
Would you like me to wrap that for you?
Oh, no, I can do it. I can wrap it.
Anyway, yes, I...
I'll reuse the wrapping paper I got last Christmas.
And while he's getting those books down for you, he's like, "Yes, well, I don't see how anyone is surprised by all of this. Mr. Ballou carried such populist drivel. Yeah. It was only a matter of time before someone whose mind had been warped by that tripe would put word on page into deed in world. I mean, I would think that you might even be suspecting one of your fellow, what do you call yourselves, murder mavens?"
It's the name of a fan club that actually goes outside of the town. You know, there's amazing chat rooms online for fans of this franchise, but yes, that is the title. So you think that perhaps this is a violence in video games type of situation where someone was inspired by a murder mystery?
Oh, absolutely. Do you know that Casey Danderbottom?
Yes, of course.
He came in here once wanting to read Stephen King.
Which I can see you carry none of.
I do not. Of course not.
Yes, well,
you know, Casey really likes the king.
Bing! Bing!
Pardon me, I forgot to silence my phone. You didn't by any chance see anything or hear anything, did you? I'm just so worried about if anything else might happen.
Go ahead and give me a medal. Why not?
Cool.
Medal with...
presence.
Let's ask. Ugh, God dang it, presence.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Presence sounds good.
I couldn't talk you into composure, could I?
I am doing some acting. I was just saying that to be a jerk.
I'm having to pretend to be nice to this guy. Okay.
No, that I'll buy that. Composure
All right.
sounds good.
Composure. Woo! That's still a six. God dang it.
No more information seems to be going to be forthcoming here. He doesn't seem to know right. anything more, as far as you can tell. I'm just thinking here what I, because I get to make a move.
That's worrying.
You could put on a crown, and if you're going to do so, then I'm going to stop thinking about what I'm going to do for my move.
Oh, I have so few of these prepared. Okay, how about a fondest memory with one of my children in the bookshop, thinking about Ethan, my oldest. I think, oh, this will just remind me so much of the first time he discovered poetry. He was very young, and we were at the local library at its old location, you remember, up on the hill. And he really liked the rhymes from Dr. Seuss's Oh, the Places You Will Go. He was very young, you understand. And he recited the entire thing to me from memory on the way home because he had read it so many times. He's just been so fond of poetry ever since. He can't have been more than 3 or 4. I don't even think he could properly read all of the words yet, but he remembered what I said, and he recited it right back.
Well, that's interesting. Not particularly, but...
He'll be so glad to receive this wonderful collection of Walt Whitman.
Moving this to a 7 to 9.
Doing that a lot tonight.
You see a book at that moment. Another
Shocking.
Expensive book.
In a bookshop? I'm amazed.
Another expensive book.
An expensive book, even. In a shoppy.
It is Architectural Blueprints of the Buildings of Lazarus Bay.
Oh. Oh, that'd be so useful. Say, Galen, may I take a closer look at that architectural book over there? And I point at it.
Of course. And he brings it. Down.
Does this have both historical and modern, blueprints?
Up through buildings built in, 1990.
Oh, that should be recent enough. I have kind of an interest in architecture. It's just a recent thing, but, I was gonna ask if he would let me borrow it. That's not gonna happen.
Are you going to leaf and dash?
Leaf and dash. Oh... Oh, I don't suspect you have a paperback version of this, do you?
No. This is a one of a kind. This was collected by a fine fellow who had a great interest in the history of Lazarus Bay, and he put this together from various records and
a local
had
historian?
It printed by a small press.
Hmm. That's really interesting. How much is it?
He tells you the price.
I like clutch my heart.
Pip, I'm coming home.
Oh, he'll never let me borrow this.
Like 3 months of Social Security.
Oh, it's a good thing I live on a boat. Why don't you add this one to the bag?
And he does so.
I count out the cash. Extremely slowly.
Are you using coins too?
Exact change. Just like.
I love it.
But as I leave the shop, I'm going to flip open the pages until I find the page for the downtown area. I'm going to take a quick picture of it and send it to the group text thread.
Well, when you get to that page, there's a loosed leaf document in there as well.
Ooh.
This is the clue.
We're outside. I grab onto it. What does it look like? What's on it?
You look at it, and it is letters of deed for the cozy kitten.
Oh, the deed's not in the shop?
Nope. And we cut over to Winifred. Winifred, have you been descending into the dark?
Yeah, absolutely. Crowbar and the lantern lit in hand.
Can I ask Olivia, who was the author?
Phineas Wellcoat.
Oh. Is the author?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Winifred, you have now entered the Cozy Kitten, a place where perhaps murder has been committed. You are descending into a dark place. Even though it is daytime, this is a night move as you enter the dark.
I'm working on it.
What are you afraid will happen?
I slip and fall and break a hip.
Sorry.
It's what everybody's always afraid will happen.
Yeah, I would be pretty upset if I slipped and fall, broke my hip.
I'm acting like a woman half my age. I'm also thinking like a woman half my age.
I will never slip and fall and break my hip.
She's afraid of centipedes. Never told anybody about this, but she is just deathly mortified of centipedes. Because a centipede, like, scuttled across her face when she was sleeping when she was a kid. And she just woke up and was supremely horrified. The thing was, like, menacing her.
I would also be terrified of centipedes if one ran across my face.
And because this is a night move, I get to make it worse. As you descend the stairs, centipedes actually, in the light of your phone, you see them all over the walls of the staircase going down, and they're on the steps too, this scurrying, stirred up perhaps by your steps or by the opening of the door outside. As you see them, you scream and tumble down the stairs.
Down, down to Centipede Town.
You can turn back from this and not go down, thinking there might be centipedes down there. Wait for the others to show up. Or you can proceed and roll your night move with vitality.
Fuck that.
Okay, am I shaken?
You are still shaken.
And yes.
Can I use my old red storm lantern to at least run straight?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got that lantern and fire that sucker up and that'll put the horrors at bay a bit.
It's a mild success.
Oh, nice. Oh, but there's a complication.
Yeah, hang on. I don't love that. Don't love that. I'm going to flash. Oh, sorry. No, you get to describe it first. Sorry.
I get to describe it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm prepared to have my skin crawl.
As you go down the stairs, you hear things moving in the walls. You can almost envision them.
Scuttling chitinous chitter.
Scuttling chitinous. But then you realize that it's being transferred through the walls from the front of the Cozy Kitten, where someone is coming through the front door. And you also hear in that translation of sound the cocking of a pistol.
Oh, no! That's bad!
It's not quite as horrifying as I was expecting, but still probably worse for Winifred overall.
I thought you just were going to say something touches your neck.
All right. It's crown time.
Crown.
Yeah. We'll take a crown, please. Okay. So I'm going to flash back to the time, to a time when I was an imperfect mother. And I don't think I've named any of my kids yet.
I just named one. Well, and I invented two for myself.
That definitely makes
earlier.
You a terrible mother.
Yeah. They're in their 40s, and I haven't given them names.
No, for sure. No, okay, so I'm going to go with Frank, Cindy, and Billy. And all three kids were there. Our refrigerator had broken, and it wasn't working, and I tried to fix it. And I only broke it worse. Like, before it was just not working, and now, like, the refrigerator coils on the back or whatever have just, like, fallen off, and they're on the floor, and I'm on the phone with the refrigerator, like, repair person, and I've got my ear plugged because the kids are, like, prancing around the kitchen, chanting about how mommy broke the refrigerator.
I would 100% have done that to my mom.
it's just too much. And she, like, takes the receiver away and covers it. And she yells, "Shut up!" And the kids just, like, recoil in shock and horror because their mother would never say shut up to them, much less yell it like this. And they, like, kind of recoil back. And there's quiet, and she goes back to the repair person.
And everything was fine after that between her and her children. They have a great relationship.
That never came up again. Except in therapy.
You can now avoid that complication of somebody with a gun coming in through the front door.
Okay, to clarify, was it like the click-click of a six-shooter, or was it like the shift-shift of like a Glock? Pump-action
shotgun. I don't think either one is a good option, Jesse. Like,
just to be clear. I just want to, I'm picturing like this gun like raising in the shadows and it's like an old six shooter
pistol. Yeah.
I need to see it.
For the aesthetics, it should be that. But if I'm hearing somebody cocking a gun, I don't care what kind of gun it is, frankly.
As Winifred continues on into the darkness, our camera doesn't follow Winifred down the stairs. It stays at the top as that light diminishes into the basement or whatever is down there. And then, give me a meddling as you descend into the darkness. I was actually going to say with composure, because I think that this is a really...
centipede-filled move.
It's a great success.
A great success.
11.
Now, Cast, I am going to secretly tell Winifred what she found.
What? Our first ever whispers?
And then Winifred says,
I know who done it.
And maybe we'll find out if Winifred is correct on the next Gothic Podcast.
Hello there, Lazarus Bay. It's the witching hour. Hey, have you ever thought about the name Lazarus Bay? Lazarus Bay. La Bay. La Bay. La Bay. La Bay. La Bay. Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey was the witch king of Satanism. And it's the witching hour out there, Lazarus Bay. You know, weird things are happening in the town today. Weird things are happening in the town every day. I was just taking a walk along the cliff wall, high above the bay, above the city, Lazarus Bay. La Bay. And I was walking, and the sun was out, and the clouds were poofy and white up there in that blue sky. And, well, I came across this fish. This fish was just laying there, right there. And I thought, well, how'd a fish get way up here? I gotta tell you, Lazarus Bay. Lazarus Bay, Lazarus Bay, LaVey. It wasn't the witching hour, but oh, the witchy things I saw. That fish stood up and it said in a high, squeaky voice, hey there, Fern. Hey there. And I said, hey back. And the fish, well, the fish, it went on, and it said, Fern, something I gotta tell you. I need you to look out there over the bay and tell me what you see. So I turned my head, and I looked, and out there, over the bay, Lazarus Bay, Lazarus Bay, Lazarus Bay, La Bay, La Bay, La Bay, out there was a cloud, and it looked like a head, looked like a man, with tentacles all coming down, stretching out not just to Lazarus Bay, but to all over, all the places in the world, all over the world, those tendrils stretching out, and And I turned back to the fish and I said, "What does it mean?" And the fish said, "Might mean that you're dreaming, Fern. Or might mean something's coming." And you know what, Lazarus Bay? Lazarus Bay. Lazarus Bay. I wasn't dreaming. You all stay safe out there in the witching hour.
The Gothic Podcast is a horror and humor actual play audio drama produced by Goblin Brook Manor, LLC. Season 5 of the Gothic Podcast stars C. Patrick Nagel, Sharon Gallery LaFournaise, Jesse Baldwin, and Eric Halbert. Our theme music is by Zoe Hovland, and our logo is by Jared George Art. Liking, sharing, and reviewing us on iTunes really helps us get more listeners. And please consider supporting us on our Patreon or joining the conversation on our Discord channel. Links and more in the show notes. Thanks for joining us in the dark, Sojourners.
He says, "Oh, all right, let's see, no, not all right, no, that's not it at all, this is not going to be what it's for."
Go back to your former accent, Lilo, it's much nicer.
They were radio flyers.
Or is that the wagon? Is that the Little Red Wagon?
That's the wagon.
Yeah, you're right.
What if it was just a Little Red Wagon, and I just, like, held the handle and, like, pushed it like a scooter? No, it's a bicycle.
Recording on Audacity.
What we doing now?
Oh God, we're dorks.